Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Pei Hei. We left off in Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, about four lines before the end of the page. We're in the middle of telling a series of stories about being tofes money that a person is owed, and whether they have to return the money when the other side has some sort of claim. So we're going to talk about tofes l'bal chov b'makom shachov la'acherim, if a person is tofes because they're owed money, but the person also owed other people money, and whether you could do that al yidei a shliach, if you could send a shliach to be tofes in that situation. The Gemara is going to tell a story how Avimi owed money, and if a shliach is responsible for not securing the shtar when he paid back the money for Avimi, is that the shliach's job to make sure he gets the shtar back when he pays back the money? Gemara is going to tell a story of a woman being toface a bunch of shtaros after a borrower dies, and a story where Rava trusted the Bas of Chista more than he trusted Rav Papa, where he trusted a woman more than he trusted the holy Amora Rav Papa, and why that might be the case. A story of where a woman had a shtar written in advance of her testimony, and whether that's permissible if you want to have a shtar written in advance to make sure that everything is ready to go when the testimony is issued. And the Beis Gemara is going to tell three stories of expensive pikdonos that were left with poor people, and how the fact that a person is poor and they had something expensive in their possession is an indication that it didn't belong to them, and that therefore it in fact is a pikdon, so the Yorshim could use that as an indication to know that it's not a Yerusha. And it's also going to talk about somebody who dies and leaves Nechasim for a fellow named Tuvia, but then there are multiple Tuvias, or there's someone that's called Rav Tuvia, but he's not Tuvia, so he has smicha, so does that count? Can he collect the money? And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about being mochel shtar chov after selling it. You sell a shtar, somebody owes you money, and then as soon as you sell it, you say, oh, by the way, I'm mochel, so you don't have to pay it back. Is that effective? Is a mechila effective in that way? So the entire daf is stories of these types of cases that happen. Not like I got into stories, these are halacha stories. Stories that illustrate various halachas of tefisa. So we left off, again, four lines from the bottom of the page, on Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Yemar Bar Chashu, it's a person's name, Yemar the son of Chashu, have a mask bei zuzei behu gavra. A guy owed Yemar money. Shach v'shavik arba, the fellow died, and the fellow had a boat. Amar le l'shulche zil tafsin ale. Yemar sent a shliach to go grab the boat as his chov, to get his chov paid back. Azul tafsa, he went and he took the boat. As he was taking the boat somewhere in the middle of the sea somewhere, he sees Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, riding their boat on the passing by them. Amrlei, so they said to him, you're being tofes on behalf of a balchov, meaning you're a shliach being tofes property in order to pay back a balchov. But he really owed money to somebody else. He owed money to other parties. So you're not allowed to, you can't send a shliach to collect money, to collect something for the chov, when other parties also have a lien on that property. The halacha is that tfisa doesn't work. So you may have this boat right now, but that is not it's not appropriate, and it doesn't work as a tfisa on behalf of Yemar. It should not be effective. As so tafsua inu, so they themselves then were tofis. And as Rashi points out, shav heim no shimbo mos. Apparently, this fellow who died owed them money as well. So they paskin the halacha, you're not allowed to take this boat. Then they themselves went and took the boat. But they each took it in a different way. Rav Papa Mimlach Meluchi, Rav Papa started rowing the boat with the oars. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Mamtach Laba Ashla, he started pulling it by its rope. He was towing it with his with the whatever boat he had, or maybe the water was shallow and he was able to jump in and pull it directly with the ropes. Mar Amar Anakanina Lalakula, Umar Amar Anakanina Lalakula. Then they started arguing with each other who was really tofes. Rav Papa says, I was kona the whole boat. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua says, I was kona the whole boat. Pagabu Rav Pinchas Barami, then they ran into Rav Pinchas Barami. Amarlu Rav Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, Vushi Siborna Menachem Rosh Hasharavim. Neither of you were tofes the boat because it has to be in a Rosh Hasharavim. This was in Simta, it's on the side of by the docks or something. That's not good enough. The only way you're going to be able to be tofes is if it's in a public area, if it's in Rosh Hasharavim. Amarlu Ananami Mecharifusa Dinar Tafisna. They said, no, you misunderstood the story. This wasn't Rosh Hasharavim, it was right in the middle of the ocean where all the boats were going. So this is considered a Rosh Hasharavim. As Rashi points out, Lo Matzanua al Svas HaNahar. It wasn't on the side of the river, on the edge of the river. She Kesimta, where it would have a din of a Simta. El Mizecha Tafnua Shayam Alicha Be'emtza HaNahar. We took it from the guy who was the Shliach of Yemar, and he had already grabbed it. He was already going with it in the middle of the river. Shekolas Vinus Olchol Sham, and that's where all the boats go. Vavik Rishas Rabim, and that's considered to be Rishas Rabim. So we met that qualification. We just need to know which one of us was kind of the whole thing. Don't tell us neither of us. Which one of us is really kind of the whole thing? Asul Kamei the Rava. They went to Rava for Pesach Halacha. Amar Lahu, Rava said to them, Kaki Chivri Mishalchi Glimi De Inshi. You white geese, you're taking away people's clothing, meaning the Talmid Chacham is often referred to by that title. Doesn't sound like a complimentary title, but white geese is a reference to their white beards, that there's a Canaan, and they already have white beards, but you're taking away other people's money. Hachi Amar Rav Nachman, Ravusha Tafsa Mechayim. Because the only problem, the only issue would have been if you're being Tofes Mechayim, but over here, it's after the person already died. And after the person died, the initial shaliach had every right to had every right to take it, meaning the halacha is dafka if they're tofes metaltalin while the person who owes the money is still alive. Only then, not that the original person, only then are you allowed to be tofes at all. But after misa, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva that tfisa doesn't help at all. That tfisa is totally ineffective. So it doesn't matter who made the better form of kinyan. It's not it's irrelevant. You're not allowed to be tofes la'achar misa anyhow. So that's how the matter was concluded. Next story. Avimi b'redu Rabbi Avo have a maski bezuze bechozai. Avimi owed money, so to bechozai. Shadrinu biad chama b'redu Rava bar Avo. So he sent the money with chama b'redu Rava bar Avo. That was his shliach to go pay the money back. Azul perinu. So he went and he paid it back. Amalu havali shtaro. Once the shliach paid it back, the shliach said to the bechazai, "Do me a favor, give me the shtar back." Meaning he owed you the money. I paid you back the money on his behalf. Now I want the shtar back. Amrulei sitroininu. So they said, "No, he owed us other money as well for which we didn't have a shtar. So you gave us $100 thinking that you're paying back the loan where there was a shtar. He owed us $100 some other time. We didn't have a shtar. That was going to be very difficult for us to collect. So we very much appreciate that you gave us $100 without asking for the shtar first. We're keeping this, and now we still have the shtar for the other $100 that he owes us." Asal kamed Rabbi Avo. So they came to Rabbi Avo. Amrulei islach sadi teperatinu. So Rabbi Avo said, "Well, are there any edim that he actually paid him?" Amrulei lo. No, we didn't do edim. I just gave him the money back. What do we need edim? We figured everyone could be trusted over here. We just gave the money back. So Amrulei migo diichon lomer lohoy dvar me'alam ichon nami lomer sitrayinenu. Since they could have denied the whole thing, they could have said that we never got paid back in the first place. So we believe them to say that they got that they're owed money from somewhere else, and they were collecting this money for some other chov. So they're never meant to say such a thing. Linyan shlume shliach mai. What about the shliach's responsibility over here? Does the shliach have to go and pay avimi because he was mazik avimi by not insisting on getting the shtar back before he ever handed over the money? So does he have to pay avimi back? Amar Ravashi chazinan I amar le shekol shtar v'havzuzei. We have to see how avimi formulated his mission to the shliach. If he said, "I want you to take my shtar and then pay," so then mishalim, then the shliach is responsible. He has to pay because he neglected to do it in that order, and the order was obviously very important over here. But if he said, "Havzuzi v'shakol shtara," here, pay back the money and take the shtar, lo mishalim, then the shliach won't have to pay back because he tried to do just that. He paid back the money, then he asked for the shtar, just didn't work out. Velohi, but that's not correct. Ben kach ben kach mishalim. Either way, the shliach is going to have to pay. Because he has the right to say, "I made you my shliach to do something good for me, not to do something bad for me. And the way this shliach has worked out, you did something terrible for me. They had no raya on any other $100 that I owe them. I dispute that I even owe them that money. And now they have that money, and I'm still going to owe them $100. So you're not my shliach at all, and therefore I'm not interested in. I want you to pay me back for the damage done." The question that the poskim deal with, the achronim deal with, is l'chora, why should the shliach be chayiv? His pshia is in leaving the shtar biyad amalva. That l'chora is a grama ben azikin, and grama ben azikin is pater. I mean, his pshia is not in having done anything to the money of the malva. It was in leaving the shtar. Is it not in having done anything to the lova? It was in leaving the shtar in the yad amalva, in the hands of the malva, and that's like Shulchan Aruch Pasuk Chol Shemish Vasimin and Hey a Shlish that's Machzir Shtar Perua Lemalve is a Grama Benizikin. If I'm in charge of someone's Shtar, they ask, they trust me to watch over the Shtar, and I know that it's already Shtar Perua. The Shtar has already been paid back, and I still return it to the Malve anyway. I give it back to the Malve, and now he's going to be able to get paid with it again. So that's a Grama Benizikin. I'm not going to be Chayiv to pay. It's a terrible thing to do. You're not supposed to do something like that, but it's not going to be Chayiv to pay because it's a very indirect way of damaging. So that's the kasha that the Achronim deal with. The Nesivos and Siman and Ches says that over here the Shliach is chayiv because he was Shina Midas HaMeshaleach. The Meshaleach gave him money to give the Malva before he was notel the Shtar. So he's Poshea Mazik in the money to and he's chayiv to pay because he was Poshea Mazik the money itself. It wasn't just the fact that he left the Shtar. He's giving money without any way of knowing for sure that money is not going to have to be paid again. So it was the giving of the money, and that's not indirect. That's fairly direct, the giving of the money. Leaving the shtar in his hand, that's indirect, but the giving of the money is somewhat direct. Now, the Shittim Gratzis quotes Rashi Madura Kama, explains that when Asal Kamed Rabbi Avo, he says that Avimi came to Rabbi Avo. So the question is, who are the players over here? It's important to, sometimes you've got to pay attention to the names. So what happened over here? Avimi Bereid Rabbi Avo was the one that owed the money. Avimi Bereid Rabbi Avo was the one that owed the money and made a shliach to give the money. So when they had it in Torah, what did they do? Asl Kamei to Rabbi Avohu. They went to Rabbi Avohu. How is that allowed? Rabbi Avohu is allowed to be the dayan in his son's case. How is that permissible? So you could say that they didn't come for a din Torah. Avimi came and told the story to his father, and his father said, look, al pidin, you're not going to be able to, you can't get the shtar back from them, because they're nema to say with the migo that lahadam, meaning he was advising him that you shouldn't sue them, because you're going to lose. Maybe that's what happened in also the Kamei de Rabbi Avohu. In the Tshuvas Boi Chayi, the Mesiv the quotes over here, but it says Vayikrav is Mishpat of Rabbi Avo Umulfanav Mishpat Yotza. So it sounds like they actually came for a din Torah to Rabbi Avo. So Shol Meshav suggests that it could be that they went to Rabbi Avo, and there is a halacha the Gemara talks about in the first parak of Masech Sanhedrin, Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Neman Alay Abba, Neman Alay Avicha, that you're allowed to say, if the other party agrees, they're allowed to say that we trust your father. We trust our father, your father, to be the dayan, and then he could be a dayan, and that's perfectly fine. He's allowed to be a dayan. One more point over here, the Ran points out that from our sugya, you see that if a person has two different chovos and he wants to pay the malva the amount of one of the chovos, the malva can say afterwards, I took the money, but I'm taking the money. I took the money having in mind that it should be part of the other chov. And not only that, even if at the Shas Matan Ma'os, the lova says that he's giving it for chov A, and the malva didn't say anything, he just took the money, the malva afterwards can say, I took it for chov B. Even though you said I took for chov A, why didn't I say anything when you said you took it for chov A? Because I'm not a moron. I realized that if I would have said something, you wouldn't have given me the money. So I know that you only wanted to pay back chov A. So I was quiet, but I really took it for chov B. And the Ran's raya is that if the din is that the lova gets the right to decide which chov he's paying over here, then Vimi could have had a taina on the Bechozai to give back the shtar, because his kavana was to pay for the chov that was in that shtar. The fact that Avimi didn't have any such taina, and the Bechozai have the right to say we took it for some other chov, that shows you that they have the right to determine which chov they're taking it for. It's not the lova's right, it's the malva's right to determine which chov they're taking it for. The reason that the malva has the right for it is there are two reasons given in poskim. The Turin Chol Shemish Vasim Pei Gimel says in the name of the Bala Trumos Eved Lova Leish Malva, that the malva is always in the driver's seat. He's the one that lent the money. He's the one that did a favor to the other party, and since he did the favor, he's the one that's always going to have the upper hand. The Tshuvas HaRashba says, no, it's midin tfisa. It's not a din of Eved Lova Leish Malva. It's a din of tfisa, that they're the ones that have the money now. They grab the money, so mele they have the upper hand. Nafka mina between the two reasons is if it's not a lova malva situation. If he owes the money for something else, it was a sale that was never paid up, it was something else where it wasn't someone doing a favor, then you wouldn't say have a lova lish malva, but midine tfisa, you would still have of such a din. Another nafkamina might be that according to the reason of the Sefer Trumas, the Malva could be kofa the love of Bebezdin to pay him back dafka a certain chov, and according to the Rashbas, midin tfisa, the Malva can't be kofa the love to pay back a specific chov. It's just if it's tafas, he's tafas. If he happened to have been tofesed, then he's tofesed. It's a discussion in other Rishonim whether they accept that sheet of the Ran. That's an important sheet of the Ran, garners a lot of discussion in the Achronim. Okay, right to next story in the Gemara. He it's a davar mifkdi gaba meluga d'shtari. There was a woman that was given as a pikadon, something to watch over, a big pile of shtaros that belonged to somebody else to watch over the pile of shtaros. Asu Yorshim katavi lamina. Yorshim came and said, we want the shtaros back. I mean, those shtaros are extraordinarily valuable to us because they say that our father was owed money by all these different people. Amr lahu mechayim tofesin lahu. She says, I'm sorry, I was tofes this while your father was still alive, and he owed me money, so I'm hanging on to this until I get my money back, the money that he owed me. Asay the kamed Rav Nachman, they went to Rav Nachman for a din Torah. Amr la, isloch sadi to tevor minach mechayim, v'lo yehavis ne'alei. Do you have any witnesses that you asked him for your money back while he was alive, and he didn't give it to you? Amr la, lo. She said, no, I don't have any witnesses to that effect. Now then it's only considered tefisa lachar misa. It's granted he gave you the pile of shtaros when he was alive, but that was b'toros pikadon. You were never toface it while he was alive. The tefisa is when you first decide that he's not paying me back, so I better be toface this to use it as collateral for him to pay me back. That didn't happen to lachar misa, when you realize that he's dead now and his children may not pay you back, and then you decided you want to be toface. With tefisa lachar misa lo kolumhi. But tefisa lachar misa is ineffective. It's not going to be an effective form of tefisa to just hang on to it after he's already dead. There was a woman, next story, there's a woman who's chayv shvua in the Beis Din of Rava. Amra le Bas Rav Chista. So Bas Rav Chista said to Rava, Bas Rav Chista was Rava's wife. So Mrs. Rava, Bas Rav Chista said, Yodana ba de chashuda ashvua. You better not trust that woman with a shvua, because I know that she is chashud on the shvua. Now, how would Bas Rav Chista know that this woman is chashud on the shvua? Lachar, Rava was the dayan. He was the one in the Beis Din all the time. How would Bas Rav Chista have this information that she was chashud on the shvua? When was this woman ever chayv shvua before? So the Ritva writes in the name of the Gaonim that she would hear that the woman would take shvuos randomly, levatala, leshav. She was just someone who was always swearing. So she said, that's the kind of person that you can't trust on the shvuah in Beis Din. She takes shvuos all the time in all of her regular dealings. Tosos Mesach Shvuos Daf Mevavim Beis writes in the name of the Bahag that it's Yadana Be De Chashuda Ashvua De Mafka Shem Shemayim Levatala. He adds to the gears of our Gemara that how did the Bas Rav Chista know? Because she always heard that this woman was being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So and that means that she was always being Mashpia Veinu Mekayemes. She was always taking shvuos b'shem Shemayim and was not being Mekayim the shvuos. So it sounds like according to Tosfos though that just being Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatal is enough to make her Chasha Shvuah. According to the Ritva in the name of the Golem, you need more than that. You need to know that she actually takes Shvuos all the time, Lashav and Lashaker, not just being Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatala. But somehow Bas Rav Chisa had this information, and because of that information, Avcha Rava Lashvuah Ashek Negda, Rava made the other party take the Shvuah. Pasha says it was a Shvuah Dar Raisa, that the woman was chayiv, and she couldn't take the shvua now because she's chashur on the shvua according to Bas Rav Chista. So Rava flipped the shvua on the other party. Zimnu Naviyasu Kamei Rav Papa Rav Ad Bar Masna. Rav Papa Rav Ad Bar Masna were often in Rava's Beis Din. Aisyahu Shtara Gabe, and a star came to the Beis Din. Amale Rav Papa Yadana Be Shtara Priyahu. Rav Papa says, oh, I know about that star. That's a star perua. You better not trust that star. That star has already been paid back. So Rava says to Rav Papa, is just you saying that? Is there anyone else? Do you have a second witness that knows that this is a shtar perua? Amalei lo. He says, no, but it's me. It's Rav Papa. I'm so honest. You could trust me. So Amalei, avgav dika mar eidechadav klumhu. I understand that it's you, but you're only an eidechad, and the halacha is that an eidechad is not believed. Amalei Rav Ad Bar Masna. So Rav Papa didn't say anything, but Rav Ad Bar Masna was there, and he says, What is going on over here? V'loyer of Papa Gavas of Chista, your wife says something that a woman is chashal shvua. You don't ask for a second date. She's not even an eid echad. You don't ask for anything. And now you just trust her. And now Rav Papa, the holy Amor Rav Papa, says something, and you start questioning, and he's only an eid echad, and you're not going to believe him. So Rav says, yeah, that's exactly right. Bas Rav Chista kimli begava, mar lo kimli begava, because I know that Bas Rav Chista is the most honest person on earth. She would never tell a lie, and I don't really know that about Rav Papa. So Rav Papa hashta da amar mar kimli begava milsihi. Now that you're saying that that's meaningful to be kimli begava, to actually say that you know the character of the person. Kigon abba mar bri the kimli begava karan shtara apume. That if like abba mar bri abba mar my son who I know is the most honest person, I can tear up shtaros based on his say so. So karan sakhlet really to tear up shtaros elamran shtari apume, at least to downgrade a shtar, to not to trust a shtar based on his statement alone. So you just taught me halacha, Rava, that when you trust someone completely, then you don't need edus, you don't need, you're just allowed to trust them, and that could change the whole case. Indeed, Imamnas Chavetz Chaim writes in Klal Dalid in Sefer Chavetz Chaim that if someone knows about somebody else at Dvar Erva, he's allowed to say to his Rebbe, who's Mamun Lo Kebetrei, provided that he believes him Kebetrei, and the Rebbe is therefore allowed to react accordingly based on the information that he's been given. Meaning, normally, the Gemara says in Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel, if one person comes by the sugya of Tuvia Nagid, I forgot exactly the lashon, Tuvia Chato Zingin Mangid, that if a guy comes to Beis Din and he says, I have Eidos that this guy did a Dvar Erva, so we give Malkus to the aid. Because what do you mean you have Eidos? You're a single person. That's lashon hara. You know that we're not going to believe in Eid Echad. But apparently we see over here, if it's Neman Love Kebetrei, if you believe the person Kebetrei, then that's valid testimony. That's like bringing two Eidim. And if there's someone that needs to act accordingly, some person needs to be careful of another party because he's not a trustworthy person, and you know that the person is going to believe you, Kebetrei, so you're allowed to say it. Chavetz Chaim, of course, adds in all of the normal criteria that have to be met. You have to be doing it L'Shem Shemayim and all the rest, all the things that make it impossible for it to ever actually be shaykh, but given all the normal criteria, all those criteria, you would still you would be allowed to do it. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Negros Moshe Chelik Alf Simon and Gimel, he says, what does it mean Nam Kebetrei? That I know the guy's a big Talmud Chacham, I know he's a Ben Torah, I know he learns really well. Is that Nam Kebetrei? Rav Moshe says Avada Nat. You see, from our Gemara, not that way. Rav Papa was a holy Amora. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He was a big Tzaddik. He was all of those things. That's not Nam Lof Kebetrei. It can't be that let's say I hear of a Gadol B'Yisrael, who I never personally met. They say I'm listening to all this speech from Varon Lichtenstein. I never really met him. So, but I know there's no way he would ever tell a lie. I'm hearing all these amazing things about him. But that would not be Neman Lof Kebetrei. That would not meet the criteria, says Rav Moshe. It has to be someone that you live with over a course of years and years, and you see them in all sorts of different situations. Not dafka, a wife that you live with, but someone that you see in all sorts of different situations that come up, and you see that they had opportunities and they passed up those opportunities over and over and over again. Only then can you build up that neamanus where you can say that he's neaman kebetrei. And that's why Rava trusted the Bas Rav Chista over Rav Papa. It's not because he didn't think Rav Papa was an honest person. The whole din of Eid Echad not being good enough in the Jewish court is when he's an honest Eid Echad. If he wasn't honest, then even two Eidim wouldn't be good if they're not honest. Obviously, the whole thing assumes that they're honest. But over here, it's a higher level of honesty. It's a higher level of knowledge of their honesty that Rav Moshe points out that seems to emerge from our Gemara. So therefore, it would turn out that even in the case of the Chavetz Chaim, where he says Neman Kebetrei, by the going to tell the Lashon Hara to the Rebbe, that's only if you know that the reason the Rebbe believes you is not because you're a Talmud Chacham and you're Yirei Shemayim, but because you have many years, a long relationship with that Rebbe, and he's seen you in all sorts of situations. So it further limits the application of that Chavetz Chaim. Next story. Hey, it's the Chayv Shvua Bedina to Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. There was a woman that was Chayv Shvua in the basin of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Amlu Ahu Baldin, Tesi Vitishtava B'masa, Efshu Demichsva Omodia. So the Baldin said, let her take a Shvua in her own hometown, because then maybe she'll be embarrassed to lie, and she'll be Moda that she owes me the money, or whatever it was about. Amr lehu kisvuli zachvasa dechimishtavana yahavali. She says, so she said, I want you to write a shtar that I came to Beis Din and that I took my shvur already and that I'm pater, so that way as soon as I take the shvur, I'll be able to collect that shtar so that I'll have a raya that I took the shvur. But I want it written in advance. Amr lehu Rav Bibi Barabai kisvula. Rav Bibi Barabai says, no problem, we could write such a shtar for her. Amr Rav Papi mishum da sisim umiloy amrisu mili mulyasa, because you come from a bad place, you say bad things. So what does mumulay mulyasa mean? Rashi says base eli shein krusa yamin. They, because you come from the base eli who die young, who have the terrible curse that they're going to die young, you say things that are not fully thought out, that are cut off also at an early stage. Or Rashi then says v'liner mumulay gavnonim bale mumin. That mumulay may refer to people who are bale mum, because you come from a place where people are bale mum, so therefore you say teachings that are bale mum, meaning what you're saying is incorrect. Hamarava haya sharta didaini demichtava mikami dinachtu sahadi achasima sidai psula. If you write it in a sharta, a kiyum shtar, before the edim ever actually testified about their signatures, before they were ever actually mekayim the shtar, and you write it in advance, that's possible. You can't have a shtar written in advance. Alma mechzika shikra. Apparently, it's because we're concerned about mechzika shikra, that it's going to look like a lie if you write it before it actually happens. That's the chumra that people have by ksuba, that they don't fill in the word v'kanina till they see the actual kinyan, because they're afraid of mechzika shikra. It's a chumra, it's not mikra din. So achinami mechzika shikra. So here also, it's mechzika shikra. V'lesa midrav Nachman. But the Gemara says no, it's not correct because of what Rav Nachman says. Damar Rav Nachman, Omer ha'yirameir afilu matzu ba'ashba. Rav Nachman says, even if you find it in the garbage and you then sign it and give it to her, it's going to be kasher, meaning by a get. You find a get that has the right names on it in the garbage and you just sign it and give it to her, that's perfectly fine. And even the Rabbanan who disagree with Rav Meir and think that you cannot pull a get out of the garbage, sign it and give it to her, that's only because it's a get. By the get, the Torah says, v'kasav la sefer krisus, and the Chum learn from there that you need ksiva lishma. Rameir happens to hold v'kasav la means v'chasam la, so you only need chasima lishma. But the Rabbanan hold you need ksiva lishma by a get. Aval b'shar shtaros modulei, but by other shtaros, even the Rabbanan will be modulei to Rameir that you're allowed to pull a shtar out of the garbage. It doesn't matter that the shtar was written in advance, and there's no concern of mechzika shikra. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shtar shalava bo paro, einu chazav lava bo shekvar nimchal shibudo. If you have a shtar that you already used for one halva'a, and it was already paid back, you're not allowed to use it for another halva'a, because the shibud was already nimchal on that shtar. Time of the nimchal shibudo sounds like it's only because of the shibud that was already nimchal, meaning the whole problem is the lukuchos, that someone's going to use this shtar to be tofes from properties that you have since sold from the date in that shtar. But really, this shtar is now being used for a loan that happened 2 weeks later, and they're going to be tarif milukuchos shelo kedin. That's the whole reason, because it's nimchal shibudo. Aval mechzi kishikra. But in terms of the shtar itself, a mechzi kishikra lo cheshina, apparently we have no such concerns in mechzi kishikra. So you see that we're not worried about writing these things in advance. That's what we pass on halacha in terms of the ksuba as well. That we it's not a halachic problem. It's a chumra to write the kanina in advance. Well, the halacha, it's absolutely permissible. Many Rabbanu Meirubayim say that we should always write it in advance because it caused more problems by not writing it in advance. How many times we find that it was never filled in because they just say things are, you know, there's a tumult or whatever, but everything is happening so quickly at a chasen's tish. They always, half the time they forget to, not half the time, but oftentimes they forget to fill it in, and then the ksuba is probably puzzle if it doesn't, if it's missing the word of the kanina entirely. So sometimes better to fill these things in advance and not to be extra machmir. Ha'u gavra, another story. Ha'u gavra, now we're going to have three stories about valuable things that were left with people who were not so wealthy. There was a guy who had left as a pikadon seven precious gems by Rabbi Miasha, Barbrid, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and they were all wrapped in a cloth. Shach Rabbi Miasha, when Miasha died, v'lo pakid, and he never told his children what to do with these stones, who they belonged to, where this came from, so they knew nothing about this. Asul kamed Rabbi Ami, they came to Rabbi Ami for a dintara. Amalei, chadad yadanet, meaning the guy who gave the pikadon, the Hahu Gavra, said, I want my gems back. They said, we honestly have no idea that it belongs to you. It could have belonged to our father for all we know. So Amalei, chadad yadanet beib Rabbi Miasha, barbarid Rabbi Shoba Levi, delo amidis. So Rabbi Ami said, first of all, he was not a wealthy man. What would he be doing with seven precious gems? There's no way he owned seven precious gems. And not only that, they gave a simon, meaning they said exactly how many gems it was. They said that it was wrapped in a sadin. So they knew about this, obviously. So that's good enough. But this only works, this idea that they gave a simon and that he wasn't a wealthy man, only works if these people were not constantly going in and out of his house and didn't have access to him and to what was brought in and out of his house. But if they were always around, it could be that someone else came and gave it as pikadon. They saw it, so yeah, the fact that he was not a rich man is an indication that it didn't belong to Rav Miasha, but that doesn't mean that it belonged to this guy. It could be that they saw that this guy, that Ahu Gavra, saw it being brought in, and they saw that it was seven, and they saw that it was in a cloth, and that's why they were able to give such a simon. Tosas points out, Tosas, since when is that a raya? When you have a dinim amnis case, we look at everyone's bank books and we say, oh, this guy in his account, he only has this amount of money, so probably he's poor, probably he can't afford to do that. Where do we ever do that in halacha? Tosas says, no, we would never do that if Rav Miasha was alive. Excuse me. If Rabbi Miasha was alive and he said it's mine, we'd believe him. Even though he's not a rich guy, there are lots of ways that someone who's not wealthy may come into some money. It could be that he found it. It could be it was given to him as a matana. But mikol makom. We wouldn't make such a tain on behalf of Yisomim because it's a Mislal Shchiach. Meaning, once he's not a wealthy person, the only way he ever could have gotten it was by someone giving it to him as a matano or finding a mitzia. So we're not going to make that taina on behalf of the Yisomim. And the Yisomim, obviously, they have no idea. They can't make the taina on their own behalf. Now, the Gemara also said, Va'od hakayav simana, that you see, he's also giving a simon. So what does that mean? Does that mean that either one of these reasons would have been a good enough reason to say that it belongs to Ahu Gavra? Either the fact that Rami Yesha wasn't rich, or the fact that he's giving a simon? So says Tosfos, no. Ein lefarish va'od afilu amid. Don't say va'od means that even if he actually was rich, di amid that the fact that he gave a simon would be good enough. Di amid, because if he was rich, ma mo'ol ha'simon, dimol zavna minei. Why would a simon help? Maybe Rabbi Miasha just bought it from him. So yeah, he knows about it because he sold it to Rabbi Miasha. The fact that Rabbi Miasha wasn't rich is an indication that he couldn't have bought it from him. So now, that's why we give it to him. Avagav da hai simon d'tzari b'sadina ein regil t'leda im lo shef. Even though the way it's kept is something that's normally only true of a pikadon, because once someone buys something, he could wrap it in whatever he wants to wrap it in. But still, we're going to say the same thing in the subsequent two cases that we're about to quote in the Gemara. And over there, you don't have the idea of it being wrapped in a cloth. It was a different simon that they had about it. And that's not a simon that he was mafkid at dikal meimer dezavna mineh, because it could be that he had bought it from him. So rather, Tos says the pshat over here is Eliyesh lefarich lefarish tahanach treitami ein mo'ilin ze below ze. Debina delo amid visimin. Even though it says va'od, it says first of all that he was lo amid va'od that they gave a simin. Those are both necessary. It's not one without the other. In fact, in the Gilyon Yashas, Rav Yosef Engel quotes from the Rabbal Amar in the Sefer Tzava in Mida Yud Beis. The Rabbal Amar writes, Chada va'od lo tzricha la'adadi, huminag rov ha'gemara, v'yesh mekomos tzricha la'adadi. He says, the Rabbal Amar put together, I think it was the Rabbi, I thought it was the Rabbi, maybe it was the Rabbal Amar, maybe they both put together Yud Gimel Midos, Sha'atara Shabal Peh, Nidrashas Behen. 13 good rules to know when you're learning Torah Shabbat. We're familiar with Yud Gimel Midos, Sha'atara Shabal Peh, that we say Rabbi Shmuel Omer. That's Torah Shabbat, the Kal Prat, and Kal V'chomer, all that. But there are Midos, Sha'atara Shabal Peh, Nidrashas Behen. always quotes the one that the same word in different places can mean two totally different things, or five totally different things, like the word chazaka. And you can have different phrases that mean exactly the same thing. That's one of the midrash haTorah Dreshban. So one of the midrash haTorah Dreshban is that the word va'od, whenever the Gemara says two reasons, this va'od, usually it means two independent reasons, but sometimes it means two reasons that actually rely on each other. So it's not always two independent reasons. Another rule to be aware of when it comes to the midos shatorin drashes behen. Now, when the Chacham Tzvi writes in the Tshuva that when poskim, when you find in poskim in tshuvas and things like that, that they bring many many tzadim lahatir, so and they say va'od va'od va'od, it's clear that you're not allowed to rely on only one of those tzadim lahatir, because that's what's a mechanism in halacha called the sniff lahakel. That poskim will say there are five reasons to be makel on the shaila. They're only makel on the shaila because there are five reasons. Any one of those reasons alone, they likely would not have been makel on the shaila unless they indicate as such. Sometimes the posuk will say, and if it were for this reason alone, that would be enough. But over here, it's even better because we have this and that and the other thing. But if they're just gathering sniffim, so you can't rely on a single sniff lahakel. Next story: Hu gavra divkid kasa de kaspa. Again, a valuable thing, a silver coast was left as a bikadon bechasa shachiv chasa died v'lapaked. He never told his children what the story is with this coast. Asal kamed Rav Nachman. They went to Rav Nachman for a din Torah. Amar lu yadana bechasa de lamed. He says chasa was not a wealthy man. Va'oda kayav simana. Plus, the guy is giving a simon. Hu gavra is giving a simon. V'lamar el dola ragel dayu v'nafik lasam avol ragel dayu v'nafik lasam emrin shachrina afkid v'yu mechsechazi. And the same qualification that we had. That's only if this Hu gavra was not always around chasa's house. But if he was always around chasa's house, he could have seen that someone else brought it in, and that's how he was able to give a simon. Hu daafkid matchachsa bei ravdimi. Another guy left a beged by ravdimi, an expensive garment. Beravdimi achud Rav Safra, Beravdimi the brother of Rav Safra, Shach Ravdimi v'lo pakid. Again, Ravdimi died and didn't leave any instructions what to do with this or where this came from. Asal kamid Rav Abba, so they came to Rav Abba. Amalu chada diadan be Ravdimi de lo amid. First of all, we know that Ravdimi is not a wealthy man. Va'ora kiyav simana. Plus, this guy is giving a simon. V'lo amarel de lo ragudai l'nafaglasim. Ragudai l'nafaglasim. Emi in the shachrina afkid via mechsechaza. Same qualification. If he was around there a lot, so it could be that he just got a peek of it, and that's why he was able to give the simon, but not an indication that it actually belongs to him. So those are the three stories where it was expensive items left by a poor person. Now the Gemara moves on to another story. A guy says, I want my nechassim, on his deathbed, he says, I want all my nechassim to go to Tuvia, Shachiv, and then the guy dies. Asa Tuvia, a guy named Tuvia comes, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hare Ba Tuvia. That's all you need. A guy named Tuvia comes, he says, I'd like my money, so that's it. That's all the instructions he left, so you can give it to that guy. Amar Tuvia va'asa Rav Tuvia. What if he said, I want to give my nechassim to Tuvia, and then a fellow named Rav Tuvia comes, meaning a rabbi who has smicha. L'Tuvia Amar l'Rav Tuvia lo Amar. No, he said that he's giving it to Tuvia. He didn't say he's giving it to Rav Tuvia. If he would have spoken with respect, if it was about Rav Tuvia, v'inish tegispe hagispe. But if it's a kind of person that he was very comfortable with, Rashi points out rugelatzlo migo degaisi adadi kari lo b'shmo ki lo nismach. That sometimes a person is a good friend from a long time ago, so the guy could be a rabbi, but he'll still call him by his first name. So if it's that kind of relationship where he's still going to call him by his first name, so then even if it's Rav Tuvia, we may know him as Rav Tuvia, but the guy who died, who left him the money, knew him as Tuvia, and that's clearly who he meant, he wanted to give the money to. Asu Shnei Tuvia, if two people named Tuvia come, so then we have to look at both of these guys. Shachin v'tamul chacham, tamul chacham kodem. If one of them is a neighbor and one of them is a tamul chacham comes first. Karav v'tamul chacham, tamul chacham kodem. If one is a relative and one is a tamul chacham comes first. Ibailu shachin v'karav mai. So the tamul chacham beats both the karav and the neighbor. But what if it's the karav versus the neighbor? So did he mean to give it to the person who lives right near him or to his relative? Tashema, so he said, we bring a raya from Pasuk. Pasuk says, Tov shachin karov me ach rachok. That a person prefers a shachin karov over an ach rachok. Now the Pasuk can point out, this is a very important ha'ara, this is when he was giving something to somebody, so it was just about who he likes better. But this is not about one's chiyuvim toward other people. Meaning, if there are dinim of priorities when it comes to tzedakah as well. Ani yair char kodmin lani yair acheres. Kal karov kodem. You give to your karov before you give to other people. What if you have aniye ircha versus your krovim? Do we say tov shachin karov me'ach rachok? Better to give it to your neighbor than to give it to krovim mishpacha because aniye ircha kodvin. So the halach is not that way. We paskin not that way. We pass the rishonim talk about the early achronim. The Bach talks about this and he says no, your krovim come first. This is not, that's a, when it comes to giving tzedakah, it's about your responsibilities, about your achrayos. It's not about who trying to figure out who the guy would have wanted to stam give a matana to. It's about an achrayus. By the achrayus, the family comes first. That's the discussion the poskim have. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein pointed out that they have that discussion about aniya yircha and about versus relatives. They never have that discussion about aniya eretz Yisrael versus relatives, or aniya eretz Yisrael versus aniya ircha. And he pointed out, because when it comes to aniya ircha and relatives, it's about your relationship with them. But when it comes to aniya eretz Yisrael, it's about their chashivas, more like a Talmud Chacham did. Just the last thing over here, shneim krovim, shneim shcheinim, shneim chachamim, shudu d'daini. If they're both krovim, or they're both shcheinim, or they're both chachamim, then it's shudu d'daini, which is a famous machlokas. Rashi tells us what that means. Rashi says it means we try to figure out who he probably would have meant. We try to do a psychological analysis of the person. Tosfos says, no, you just give it to whoever. It's not whoever the dayanim want to give it to. Tosfos asks at the end, well, if they're just giving it to whoever they want to give it to, then won't they just give it to whoever pays them off the most? So he says, no, kol dayan de mekabel igri lav dayanahu. That's not a dayan if he's taking money. So obviously they can't pay money, but it's whoever the dayanim choose to give it to. Okay, we'll stop there.